This is Harv Aronson of the Total Sports Recall Podcast, and when I start my workday, it always begins with that morning shower. Normally, I use a liquid body wash, but recently I purchased a bar of Sterling Soap Company's handcrafted bath soap and decided to give their Deep Blue Sea handcrafted bath soap a try. Immediately, the aroma of Sterling's bath soap was obvious, and in using this soap, I felt refreshed, clean, energized, and Sterling's bath soap helped me step out of that shower with the momentum and eagerness to get my day rolling. If you want to get a refreshing wake-up call in the morning and get your busy day off to the right start, I highly recommend going to Sterling Soap Company's website and order one of their many varieties of bath soaps among other products they offer. Visit Sterling Soap Company at sterlingsoap.com. That's STIRLINGsoap.com.
This is Kyle Richards, the creator of the Total Sports Recall logo and owner of Abstract Sports, and you are listening to the Total Sports Recall podcast, a part of the Sports History Network. Now, here's your host, Harv Aronson.
Welcome to the Total Sports Recall podcast. I'm your host, Harv Aronson, and we've reached the fourth and last chapter of a series looking back at the first overall draft selections of all the major sports. In the last 6 weeks, I've covered Major League Baseball, the National Football League, and in the last episode, the National Basketball Association. Now I turn the attention to the National Hockey League, who conducted their first amateur draft in 1963. For this episode, I'll look back at the first 15 picks selected first overall for the history of the National Hockey League draft. In that very first draft process, the Montreal Canadiens had the first overall pick for the NHL, and with it, they selected Gary Monahan, who had been playing on the ice for St. Michael's Majors. Monahan had a successful and lengthy career, lasting from his draft year until 1982. Over those years, he played for not just the Canadiens, but also with the Detroit Red Wings, Los Angeles Kings, Toronto Maple Leafs, and the Vancouver Canucks. At the conclusion of his NHL career, Monahan went to Japan and spent 3 seasons playing for Seibu Tetsudo in the Professional Japan Ice Hockey League. In 1982, he officially hung up his skates. Later, he would serve on the Vancouver Canucks broadcast team. Playing the center position, Monahan did not make it on the Canadiens roster until 1967, after spending years in the minors playing for Peterborough and the Houston Apollos. When he left the NHL, he played in 748 games, scoring 116 goals with 169 assists and accumulated 285 points. Now on to the next 14 draft picks. In 1964, the Detroit Red Wings owned the first overall pick in the draft and with it drafted Claude Gauthier, who was playing with the Quebec Junior Hockey League. However, his pro career never got off the ground as he failed to play a single second in the NHL. 1 year later, the New York Rangers had the luxury of picking first, so in 1965, Andre Belleau came to the Big Apple by way of the Junior League Montreal Rangers Junior. For the second year in a row, the NHL's first overall draft pick failed to make it to the pros. First it was Gauthier, and then in 1965, Belleau also did not make the New York Rangers roster. If you look up the name Barry Gibb, you're going to find the Bee Gees singer. However, add an S to the end of that name and you have Barry Gibbs, a defenseman drafted first overall in 1966 by the Boston Bruins. Look him up and you'll see his image and you'll know right away he played defense. Gibbs has that tough guy look, and his style of play kept him in the NHL for 14 seasons. Gibbs played junior hockey for Estevan Bruins in Saskatchewan, Canada. And during his NHL career, Gibbs played for not just Boston, but also the Minnesota North Stars, Atlanta Flames, St. Louis Blues, and the Los Angeles Kings. Still alive today, Gibbs is now 77. As a hockey defenseman, typically they are not known as goal scorers, but Gibbs did net 58 goals and assisted on 224 others in his career. In his 14 seasons, he found himself in the penalty box for 945 minutes. Some of the aforementioned players were drafted and never played professional hockey, and their careers essentially ended shortly after being selected. In 1967, the National Hockey League's first overall pick never made it to the pros either, but instead had an 11-year career in minor league hockey. The man was Rick Pagnutti, and the Los Angeles Kings made him the league's top draft pick. Pagnutti went from playing in junior hockey to being drafted into the NHL only to never play in one puck drop, yet he continued skating for six different teams in five different minor league operations. Our next number one drafted in 1968 set a special record. His record took place as a professional, but in the minor leagues. Playing for the Kansas City Blues, Michel Ploss and his team were facing the Oklahoma City Blazers and had a 2-1 lead when the Blazers pulled their goalie in an attempt to tie the game. But Ploss, who was a goalie, got his stick on the puck and shot it down the ice where the black disc found its mark in the Oklahoma City nets, making Ploss the first goalie in pro hockey history to score a goal from his position. Eventually, his parent club, the St. Louis Blues, called him from the minors, and he would play just one season with St. Louis before playing for four more teams, the Canadiens, the Kansas City Scouts, my team, the Pittsburgh Penguins, and the Colorado Rockies, as well as the Quebec Nordiques. While his career was long, 11 years, his record in goal was a losing one, retiring with a one-loss record of 92-136 with 53 ties, and he only had two shutouts. Sadly, Michel Ploss died of a heart attack in 2006 at the age of 58. In the last year of the 1960s decade, Regine Hull became the final first overall pick for the 60s as the Montreal Canadiens made him the first pick. He would play 11 seasons in the NHL with Montreal and the Quebec Nordiques. A solid player, he would be on the ice for 634 games and score 161 goals, with his high mark coming in the 1975-76 season when he beat an opposing goalie 51 times and added 52 assists. The season before, he netted 40 goals playing for Quebec, his third season with the team. But he returned to the Canadiens in 1976, where he finished his career in 1983. For those who enjoy Molson beer, Hull became an executive with that brewery, who at that time also owned the Canadiens. On a personal side, Hull has three children, one of which is Jean Francois, the head coach of Clarkson University's Golden Knights. With the Buffalo Sabres owning the first overall pick in 1970, we have our first draft pick who turned into a superstar hockey player. Gilbert Perreault spent 18 years in the National Hockey League, all with the Buffalo Sabres, and in 1990 was inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame. Regarded as one of the finest centers in the history of the game, Perreault had the honor of being named in 2017 as one of the 100 greatest players in the history of the NHL. A southpaw shooter, Perreault played in 1,191 games and scored 512 goals with 814 assists, which accounted for 1,326 career points. His goal total is 45th best all-time. His career assists rank 32nd, and his points total is 37th. Sadly, Perreault lost his wife of 50 years to cancer in 2023. After hockey, Perreault did some coaching in junior ice hockey and was involved in real estate investing. The NHL got another gift a year after Gilbert Perreault was drafted when the Montreal Canadiens found one Guy Lafleur, who was playing with the Quebec Ramparts in the Quebec Junior Hockey League. Like Perreault, Lafleur is in the Hall of Fame, inducted 2 years before Perreault. Also, just as was his predecessor in the draft, Lafleur was named in the top 100 players of all time. Lafleur's stats nearly mirror that of Perreault, as he scored 560 goals in 1,126 games with 793 assists and 1,353 points. LaFleur had two nicknames, Le Demon Blonde, and as a Pittsburgh Penguins fan, we once had a goalie named Marc-Andre Fleury, who sported the nickname The Flower. That moniker was also labeled on LaFleur. LaFleur would play his entire career in Montreal minus one season with the New York Rangers and two with the Quebec Nordiques. LaFleur was a league leader in multiple categories over several seasons, including scoring the most goals in the 1977-78 season when he blasted 60 shots past an opposing goalie. He also led the NHL in games with 80 played on four separate occasions. The season before scoring 60 goals, he was the leader in assists with 80 as he scored 56 goals. For three straight seasons from 1975 through the 1977-78 season, he was the top point scorer in the league with a high of 136. Four times he scored the most game-winning goals for a single season, with 13 being his high mark. Following his hockey career, he became a licensed helicopter pilot and was a part owner of a helicopter transportation company. During the 1990s, he developed his own energy drink that was called Flower Power. He also opened his own restaurant and named it Guy LaFleur Mike's Signature, and then another restaurant called Bleu Blanc Rouge. Tragically, heart disease took the life of Guy LaFleur on April 22, 2022, when he was 70 years old, 7 days to the day of the passing of another hockey great legend, Mike Bossy, who died of lung cancer. Both men were heavy smokers, but LaFleur received a national funeral on May 3, 2022, in Montreal. The year was 1972, and the Boston Bruins had won the Stanley Cup for the 1971-72 season, defeating the New York Rangers. The other New York team, the Islanders, owned the first overall draft pick. With that, they chose Billy Harris, who had been grooming himself for the NHL, playing for the Junior League Toronto Marlboros. Harris would go on to have an above-average career in the pros, lasting 13 seasons that began with the Islanders and saw him play for the Los Angeles Kings and the Toronto Maple Leafs. Upon his retirement, Billy Harris had played in 897 NHL games, scoring 231 goals and assisting on 327 others. During his childhood, Harris was a member of the 1964 Quebec International Pee Wee Hockey Tournament, playing for the Toronto Shopsy team. At that time, he was just 14 years old. As the Islanders were an expansion team, he became the first player on the roster of the New York Islanders. Our third Hockey Hall of Famer on this list was drafted first overall in 1973 by the New York Islanders, and he was Dennis Potvin. Having played his junior hockey for the Ottawa 67s, he would play his entire career for the Islanders, and that spanned 16 years from 1973 to 1988. Potvin's resume included four Stanley Cup championships, a bronze medal in the 1986 World Championships, and a gold medal in the 1976 Canadian Cup. Entering the NHL in his rookie season, the Islanders were coming off a season before that, the season that ended with the worst record in modern NHL history, with 12 wins, 60 losses, and just 30 points for the season. In 1973, Potvin won Rookie of the Year award, known as the Calder Memorial Trophy. 2 seasons later, he won the James Norris Memorial Trophy for the league's top defensive player, which snapped Bobby Orr's 8-season streak of taking home that trophy. That same season, he finished second in the Most Valuable Player Award voting, as Bobby Clark won that honor, known as the Hart Memorial Trophy. Some notable facts about Dennis Potvin, as the Canadian-born skater is now 72, shows that he was the first defenseman in history to score a career 300 goals in the regular season and had 1,000 career points. Potvin was also the first player to reach 100 assists in the playoffs. When he retired, he ranked first in the NHL in history for playoff goals, assists, and points scored by a defenseman. The New York Islanders retired his jersey number 5 in 1992, as he became the first from that team to have a number retired. In 1998, the Hockey News ranked him 19th best player in history. In 2002, the Nassau County Sports Hall of Fame made him a member. Finally, Potvin joins Brian Trottier and Joshie Bailey as the only players to appear in 1,000 games for the New York Islanders. The 1982 first overall draft pick in the NHL had a career shortened by injuries, but might be the smartest draft pick in history. Gordon Kluzak was drafted by the Boston Bruins, and in the World Hockey League was playing for the Billings Bighorns. he would have a pro career with Bosan that lasted from 1982 to 1991, but knee injuries limited it to just 299 NHL games. A defenseman by position, Kluzak graduated from Harvard in 1994, having earned a degree in economics and later getting his MBA from the same school. He served time as chief of staff for the state's lottery and later would be hired by Goldman Sachs. Kluzak was also hired by the Bruins to be a color commentator for their games. In the 1982 World Junior Championships, he was named best defenseman. Despite his shortened career, he is listed as one of the top 100 players in Boston Bruins history, and in the 1989-1990 season, he won the Bill Masterson Memorial Trophy, given to the player that best exemplifies the qualities of perseverance, sportsmanship, and dedication to the game. Yet again, we have another hockey player drafted in 1981 that would end up in the Hockey Hall of Fame that is located in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. The hall was built in 1943, but it is the home of a handful of players already mentioned. Now we have Dale Hawerchuk, who the Winnipeg Jets pegged with the first draft pick of in 1981. Hawerchuk not only played for the Jets, but at the time his career ended in 1977, he had suited up for the Buffalo Sabres, St. Louis Blues, and the Philadelphia Flyers. A center pie position, Hawerchuk had competed in three world championship tournaments, being a part of Canadian teams that won two bronze medals and a silver. He also played in the Canadian Cup twice, taking home a championship in 1987 and 1991. Hawerchuk's hockey life began young. His father had laced him up on skates up on him at age two. His dad is quoted as saying, "Dale was skating before we could walk." How good was Hawerchuk became obvious when in a Quebec International Pee Wee tournament as a youth, his team was victorious by a score of 8-1, and Hawerchuk scored every one of his team's goals. That effort set a record that was previously held by the great Guy Lafleur. Following his outstanding career, he became a hockey executive and coach. His son, Ben, is a pro player on the South Carolina Stingrays in the East Coast Hockey League. But sadly, Dale Hawerchuk passed away at the age of 57 on August 18, 2020, after fighting a battle with stomach cancer. Looking back on his career, he became the first player in history to play in 1,000 NHL games before turning the age of 31. He also shares the record with Chris Letang for most assists in a single period, which is 5, with Hawerchuk setting his mark in 1984. Dale Hawerchuk was inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame in 2001 and is an honored member of the Manitoba Hockey Hall of Fame as well as the Manitoba Sports Hall of Fame. He would play in 1,188 NHL games, scoring 518 goals. The ugly disease of cancer took the life of our next player in line, a man drafted first overall in 1980, and he was Doug Wickenshire. Dying from cancer is a tragic event, but when someone is only 37 years of age and they lose their life, it becomes an even more sad passing. That was the case for Wickenheiser, who had suffered from epithelioid sarcoma, which is a rare form of the disease, and it first appeared in his wrist in 1994, which he had removed. In 1997, the cancer returned, but now it was in his lungs. It was deemed inoperable, and 1 year later, he developed brain cancer and passed away on January 12, 1999, short of 40 years old. Following his passing, his hometown of Regina in Saskatchewan named an arena in his honor using his name. An annual award is presented in the Western Hockey League to a player named Humanitarian of the Year, and that trophy is called the Doug Wickenheiser Memorial Trophy. While his jersey number 14 has not been officially retired by the St. Louis Blues, who he had played for four seasons, they have yet to allow another player to sport that number. Originally drafted by the Montreal Canadiens, Wickenheiser also spent 2 years with the Washington Capitals, Vancouver Canucks, and the New York Rangers. In 556 career games, he scored 111 goals. I have two players remaining to discuss, and as I am now up to the year 1978, the Minnesota North Stars were picking first with their selection, and it was Bobby Smith, yet another Canadian-born player, who, like many others already mentioned, had a very long NHL career. Smith's tenure in the NHL lasted from 1978 until his retirement in 1993. In that period, he played for Minnesota, but also with the Montreal Canadiens. An outstanding athlete, Smith, as a youth, also played tennis and football. Once in the pros, he won the Calder Memorial Trophy in his rookie campaign as Rookie of the Year. After his career ended, he stayed in hockey as an executive. He has earned many honors and awards, and in 1980, the Ontario Major Junior Hockey League created the Bobby Smith Trophy, awarded to the player that best represented their on-ice and academic excellence. It was tabbed with Smith's name in reference to his 1978-77-78 season, when he graduated high school, finishing with a 75% average and leading his league in scoring. Today, he is 68 years old. We have reached the final player in this discussion and the last year of the 1970s. The final player drafted number one overall for the decade was Rob Ramage by the Colorado Rockies, coming out of the World Hockey Association's Birmingham Bulls. Ramage spent 15 seasons in the National Hockey League playing for 8 different teams. As a defenseman, he would become the coach of the St. Louis Blues minor league team with the Warriors following other coaching roles. Rob Ramage does have one ugly black eye on his record in an incident that took place on December 15, 2003. Driving a rented Chrysler Intrepid, Ramage had another pro hockey player as his passenger, Keith Magnuson. Ramage lost control of his car, swerving into an oncoming lane, crashing into another car. Magnuson was killed and the driver of the other automobile injured. Ramage was charged with impaired driving and causing a death. He would spend 4 years in prison before being released. So there you have it, the closing chapter in this four-part series covering the overall number one draft picks in baseball, football, basketball, and in this episode, hockey. Over the past four episodes, you may have heard names you were familiar with, and on the other hand, you most likely heard the names of all the Hall of Famers that were past overall number one draft picks in the respective league. What is up next for Total Sports Recall? If you're not aware, I'm also a senior contributing writer to the magazine Gridiron Greats, owned and published by Bob Swick, who is also a member of the Sports History Network. In his latest edition, I wrote an article titled Mr. Irrelevant Before There Was Mr. Irrelevant. What I did was I looked back at the last man drafted in each of the first 10 NFL drafts in history and profiled their careers. Now I will have a new three-part series beginning with my next episode, and that will look back at the last man drafted in the first 10 years for Major League Baseball's draft as well as the NBA and NHL. I hope you'll tune in for those next three episodes. And in the meantime, thanks as always to the host of my show, the Sports History Network. And until I return 2 weeks from now, this is your host, Harv Aronson, wishing everyone a fantastic next few weeks.
The contents of this podcast do not represent the opinions of others and are solely the opinions of Harv Aronson based on his experience, knowledge, and research.
Hey there, sports history fan. This is Arnie Chapman, aka the Football History Dude, and I hope that you enjoyed this recent episode presented by the Sports History Network and were able to learn some good old-fashioned sports history knowledge nuggets. I started the Sports History Network back in 2020 with the mission to help podcasters find a community of like-minded sports history nerds, as well as helping aspiring podcasters to start their own shows. We have a little bit over 30 shows on the network right now covering all sorts of sports history, but as far as I'm concerned, we're just at the toothpick in the ocean moment, you know, that can't even figure it out because there's so much more coming. We wanted to create the ultimate headquarters for sports yesteryear, starting with Podcast Network and our website, but we're going to continue to move into other mediums as well. And here's the cool part, because we want you to be part of our team. So if you're interested in starting your own podcast, or maybe being a guest on one of our shows, or who knows, maybe even writing an article for us over on the website. Seriously, all you gotta do is reach out to us on the contact page over at sportshistorynetwork.com. You can be as technologically savvy as a Neanderthal tapping on a stone trying to figure out this whole hieroglyphics thing back in the day. Again, it doesn't matter, because even if you don't understand the whole podcast space, we have a production team that can pretty much help you out with doing everything. All you gotta do, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com, head to the contact page, fill it out. That message goes right to me, and I'll reach out to you as soon as I can. But for now, dude, I'm through if you're through.